And as usual, we are awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you may have. You can do it either by phone or by text. Just one number will get you either 651-461-9226. Again, 651-461-9226. Andy Lindis, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for asking. Hope you are too. What kind of a week has it been at Lindis Construction? I would imagine a busy one.
Yes, very, very busy. You know, leading up to the 4th of July, a lot of people had time off, or we couldn't get out there and actually take a look at the projects because people were on vacation. So it seems like this week, I think we were on almost 300 houses this week and installed our very first fortified roof. It's a new program in the state of Minnesota. It started in Florida, but it's working its way up here. It's a way to install a roof to ensure that no water damage or wind damage can really happen in conjunction with a class four shingle. I really do think it's the best install you could possibly do.
Maybe you could give us detail. How does that work? What does that look like in installing?
So it's a combination of this is a project we were in St. Paul that we were having to resheet anyways. So being that we were already going to have to put down new plywood on the roof, we decided to test what it would take to how much longer it's going to take, how much more it's going to cost to install a fortified roof. So this customer lucked out that we were in testing phase and they're getting it for free. So on the sheeting itself, there's more nails and a different type of nail, a full-headed nail has to be used on the actual sheeting, and all of the seams have to be taped. So if all the roofing gets blown off the roof and the underlayment gets blown off the roof, this is going to make sure that water still cannot leak inside the attic.
Wow.
And combination, GAF came out with a new starter strip that we were pretty excited about because it allows us to do what we need to do on the rakes without using tar. The bad part about tar is every time I get on a roof where people have used one of the buckets of tar to seal down the rakes or around a chimney or in a valley area, it always seems like that bleeds through the shingle eventually and starts to blister in the shingle. So this doesn't seem like it's ever put on properly. GAF came out with a starter strip. Once you nail it, there's a peel and stick on the top. So you peel that part off and then allows the shingles to adhere to that, really helping with any type of wind damage. And then in conjunction with a little bit more ice and water shield up the rakes, in the hips, in the valleys, along the starter area, and any perforation in the roof, like vents or pipes, and then a class four shingle installed over the top of it. It really does give more nailing, a little bit more ice and water shield, a different type of more expensive starter strip, a little bit different on how we install the roof edge underneath the ice and water shield and the starter as well. So really from wind-driven rain to heavy, heavy winds, or worst-case scenario, the roof gets ripped off because of really high winds, underneath it is even protected. So if you do get some damage, it's going to be less damage than you would have in other areas. Most of the stuff was designed for Florida, where with hurricanes and a lot of roofs down there. You know, it's not uncommon to come to go around Florida 2 years after a storm and still see tarps all over the roof. So I can understand why they take steps to make sure water doesn't get in the attic. But I'm most excited because insurance companies are going to start pushing this, and it's going to push a lot more people at class four roofs, which this week I've been on a dozen roofs so far this week. All of them have zero damage. All of them were class four shingles that Lindis Construction installed in the last decade. But now I have two this week that I'm going to go back and look at because we've had a couple of roofs this week where we found other storm chasers causing damage on the roofs, Denny. This
really?
Is a scary thing. And this is where desperate people do desperate things. Even one of my customers asked, who do I turn that roofer into for causing this damage on my roof? Like there was missing ridge cap that wasn't missing 2 days earlier, and creases in shingles that weren't there 2 days earlier. And now I have two class four roofs that my people had inspected and found no damage on that adjusters have found damage on. Now, I'm not saying another roofer got out there and damaged it. I don't know yet. I'm going to go and take a look at them tomorrow and then hopefully get to the bottom of it on Monday. But because a couple of things can happen. Sometimes these insurance adjusters are getting to projects and they're seeing enough damage on the siding and the gutters or the soft metal where they're referring to that as collateral damage. So seeing enough collateral damage on the ground and then assuming that there's damage on the roof, not being educated enough to know what a class 4 impact resistant shingle is. And I witnessed on a twin home this week, my in-laws live in a twin home, and there's two insurance companies on that twin home. Now, one insurance company did an 8-minute inspection and said no damage. The other insurance company was there for almost 2 hours and found that the roof needed to be replaced, the gutters needed to be replaced, some downspout needed to be replaced, some trim needed to be replaced, wrote up an entire estimate that now I'm going to try to figure out how one adjuster, it's so subjective at times, it can drive a fellow like me a little bit insane who tries to live in the world of objectivity, like this is what damage is, this is what damage isn't. And I train all my people to know the difference of you know, some mechanical failure, installation errors that you can see blemishes on a roof that's not quite hail damage. This one was pretty obvious. You know, when I can poke a hole through the shingle with my finger because of the impacts that have happened through the matting, it's pretty straight cut and dry on this one where it is damaged. So now I'm going back to an adjuster that just didn't spend enough time. And I also have adjusters that are buying roofs that they shouldn't be bought. So it's going to be a fun week, Denny. And I'm excited to be able to educate the people in the insurance industry on what our roofs are. And, you know, I was doing some testing with GAF this week. Not with GAF. To GAF, I should say, on their website for locating contractors. And I made the mistake of filling out a form. So now 11 of the local roofers have called me this week. Just thought I'd give that public service. Just remember, whatever form you fill it online for whatever need you have, just be careful. They're not going to give your name and number to 15 different contractors, because I made that mistake this week and had some fun conversations.
I would like to have been on a fly on that wall listening to those. I'll tell you what, let's do this, Andy, speaking of insurance. When we come back, let's talk about it. I just got a letter, and I thought about your comments on the previous shows. I just got a letter from my insurance company about my homeowner's policy. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Doesn't have to be about insurance. Can be about decks. Can be about siding or windows, whatever the case may be. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We are here every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, thanks to our friends at Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. Andy Lindus answering those questions again this morning. You can call Andy or you can text him. Either way, 651-461-9226. I wanted to mention, Andy, that about 3 days ago I got a letter in the mail from my insurance company. And I thought, what does this mean? They've been decent, I have to say, but it's they're talking about a change in my deductible. You have talked about that in past shows. Pretty common these days, Andy, right?
Very common. I've met a couple of customers this week that are still what I would say on the lucky side. Their deductibles haven't changed, so they're still in that $1,000 or $1,500 deductible. But I've seen a lot of deductibles that are a percentage of the insured value of the house. And it's not uncommon that you're seeing deductibles, you know, in the $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, even $10,000 range, depending on the policy that you have. The thing that people need to understand about their insurance policy, besides their deductibles, Denny, is there anything in the letter talking about a match endorsement or cosmetic damage to
metals? I didn't I didn't read all the pages. And that's a whole other thing, because it was like as big as the New Testament, you know, for that.
Yeah. I really probably should look at my mail a little bit more, but these letters come in a bill. I'm probably not ever going to see it, or if I do open it up, read all of it. I think it's really, if you haven't talked to your agent lately about your policy and about what's covered, I would highly recommend you get a hold of her or him and get that figured out, because I'm finding, like, on my in-laws, they have the matching endorsement, which was like another $100 a year, and there's no exclusion for cosmetic damage. But their neighbor in the twin home doesn't have the matching endorsement, and there is exclusion for cosmetic damage, meaning if all of your soft metal, it gets, you know, dented because of the hail. And one of the houses I was looking at, Denny, it was the entire front of the house, the gable end, the peaks of this beautiful home, where anywhere that there was aluminum have dents in it that the insurance company is not going to cover. Oh. And we're going to meet with an engineer from one insurance company this week about structural damage and dents to LeafGuard. I mean, it looks terrible. And aesthetically, it does nothing to the value of the house either. It's going to take away from the curb appeal of that home, but it's not covered. And usually it's under $500 to get both of those things added to your insurance premium, depending on where you live and who you have. But it's definitely worth having that conversation now. It can be the difference of thousands and thousands of dollars worth of damage, or like the matching endorsement. If you get one wall of your siding damaged and that siding is no longer manufactured, it doesn't matter. You got to replace it with whatever. So you have three walls that don't match the one wall that got replaced. And that can be, it's not a fun conversation to have with the customer. The good news, Denny, is no matter what your deductible is with your roof, especially, bring on the hail, baby. That thing will stand it all. You got the Glenwood shingle, man.
Yes.
They stopped making that one, and I was on two of them this week, and there wasn't a ding on any of them.
No, just driving by this past week, I thought that, and it's been years since Linda's put those on, but they still look so good. So great.
Right.
Now, is there, you talk about these changes in some policies. Is there, that you've heard anything about no longer covering wind damage? Have you ever heard of such a thing with an insurance company?
Depending on what you're referring to with wind damage. Yes. Again, if it's cosmetic, say a wind comes through and it knocks down a tree branch and the tree branch hits your siding and gutters and only causes dents that aren't all the way through the metal, or you have a metal roof and a tree falls on it and only causes dents, but it doesn't actually allow the water to go in the metal roof. The insurance company is going to, a lot of them are going to argue cosmetic damage, that it's not structural. And then they're going to take somebody like one of the people from Linda's Construction to fight with them for 6 months and try to get it covered. It leads down some conversations that you just don't want to have. And if you were to exclude the cosmetic damage portion of the policy, it's not that much more money in premiums. Now, couple that with say you have a class 4 roof, you're going to be getting a deduction on your premiums. That deduction on your premiums is usually more than what the endorsement to have cosmetic damage is. And believe it or not, there's still a bunch of insurance companies out there that don't have any exclusions for cosmetic damage. I got to give credit where credit's due. I've watched auto owners, adjusters, 3 times this week now. And once on one of the projects we were working on. But the other times were just while I was up on a roof watching them do their inspections of neighbors' houses. They are as professional as it gets and spend as much time inspecting every aspect of the exterior of that home when they're on the project. They're not trying to get through it fast. They're not trying to get to 50 in a day. What they're trying to do is do the best job they possibly can for that particular customer, which for somebody like me, I can really appreciate it, because when you're going to be at this house, you might as well take all of the time that you need to give it a thorough, proper inspection. Now, I've never used auto owners, and sometimes it can be a little bit more expensive than other insurance companies. But in talking with them, they don't have any exclusions for cosmetic damage yet. And they might, coming down the road. It's usually, again, the big ones are the ones that start all this. When I say the big ones, so the ones that you see a lot of advertising for, are the ones that start these types of policies, and usually trickles down to the smaller carriers. Not that auto owners is a small carrier, but when you're looking at the ones you see giving millions of dollars to for endorsements, they're definitely smaller than that, you know. But something to keep in mind: not every insurance company is created equal. Not every adjuster is created equal. I know that adjusters can get a little bit biased and jaded, as they should. Imagine meeting with a bunch of people all the time that are painting you as the evil person of the the deal, or lying to you about how the damage happened. You know, it's pretty easy to tell the difference between lawnmower damage, or you threw rocks against the house, or what is actual damage versus mechanical damage on a roof. That's one thing with us. Maybe we just have a little bit better luck with adjusters, because we're not up there making stuff up.
And they know that with experience with Lindis in the past. I know.
How much did your deductible go up to?
It was five, which surprised me. I thought it was going to be bigger than that. But you know what? You've intrigued me now. I'm going to have to go back and read over all of those pages to see what, as far as any inclusions or exclusions, maybe in there. Now, we have some listeners,
Andy.
Now
that I think of it, too.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
No.
The discounts for Class 4 shingles, when we installed your roof, that wasn't a thing yet. So you might want to talk to your insurance carrier and let them know that you have a Class 4 roof on, and you might be in for a 20% or greater discount on your actual premium.
Well, if Eric is listening, I'm going to call you next week about that. It's interesting to me, we have insurance bundle for auto, home, and other liability stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's all with one insurance company. And I've had really good luck with this. Now, I can't promote, and nor can Andy really promote, other insurance companies on this particular program. But in many cases, with the auto thing, I had to do a couple of different cars over the last few years. It's all done online. You take pictures, mm-hmm. you send it, you don't even have to talk to your insurance agent. Do it all online. Now, obviously not with damage to homes, but that's a whole different thing. Tell you what, we are up against the clock. We got to do a little forecast, talk about that smoke out there, and I wonder if your workers are affected by that too. We'll come back and answer some more home improvement questions. It doesn't have to be about insurance. In fact, we've got some questions about decks and decking. 651-461-9226. It's a Saturday. It's Home Improvement Talk here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Home Improvement Show, brought to us by Lindis Construction every week. Andy Lindis, of course, with us answering those particular questions, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Andy, a text came in earlier this morning about a texter just power washed their deck. They want to know how long should they wait before they stain it? Of course, the weather is a big factor here. What would you say if there's no rain?
A day. You just want to make sure it's completely dried out for the stain to adhere properly. You also might want to use a brightener and conditioner after you power wash it, get rid of all the grime, because it does a pretty good job of opening up the pores of the wood. Even on brand new decking that you install, I would recommend doing a brightener conditioner before you install or apply any type of stain to it. Just when wood goes through the mill, the heat of the blade actually closes the pores of the wood, So if you want to have the longest lasting stain you possibly can, when you add the brightener conditioner, it opens up the pores and allows the stain to actually go farther into the wood, making it adhere longer. And now sun exposure is, you know, the trump card, if you will, on all of this. If it's direct sun a lot of the day, it's not going to last as long. But typically, when done properly, we can get 3 to 5 years out of a high quality Penafin stain.
Yeah, it's good stuff, and it's interesting to me. And we've talked about it. We hardly ever get questions about staining decks anymore. I mean, what a change over the last 10 years! Big change.
Yeah, you know, I had to do some continuing education for our licensing requirements at Linus Instruction this week. Of course, you know, I waited very last minute to get my 12 hours in, and I took a 4-hour course on decking. A lot of the course was talking about porcelain tile decks, and Corey and Luke have taken a hard look at those options over the last couple of years. It's mainly we've seen a lot of on some of the commercial options, and we've been doing some commercial decking, and we just got done finished up a project with a local town home association where I think we do over the next 4 or 5 years, it's just close to 150 decks we're going to install there.
Wow.
For that association. But porcelain tile decks is what this class was pushing at all of us. And so much so where I ordered some materials this week to do some testing for one. I think the cost is about right. It is going to be in the same area of what our millboard decking is, which I think is the best decking you can possibly install, and the only decking we haven't had any type of warranty issues with. But I think porcelain decking, Denny, might even last longer. You know, in order to get something to withstand Mother Nature, the best materials come from Mother Nature.
Yeah.
And 50 to 75 years is not out of the question on a properly installed deck. I think that with millboard, and I think that with I don't know, I'm going to reserve until we test things. Like, if you were to come to my house right now, Denny, I have 3 decks. I built a little one off of my shed just so I could test a couple of materials. And the front of my house, I have some decking and a railing system. All of the decking is failing, and the railing system is also failing. Those are neither materials. I won't name them, but just know that we don't offer them as an option at Lindis Construction. In the very back of my house is the first version. Now, it doesn't look great. I have to pressure wash it all the time. The weep holes don't work anymore. But it's the first version that Trex, which was one of the first composites that we ever saw. This, my dad installed this deck when he owned the house. And I've had the house for, it's getting closer to 20 years now. And it tells you how old that deck is. I put a new railing system on and did some things with the steps. But we're testing a lot of things. And so far, the only thing that hasn't failed or really needs no maintenance on my house is millboard. Now, I'm going to tear off the one deck in the railing system and probably try porcelain decking on at least a portion of it so I can see exactly how slippery it is, how hot it gets in the sun. Now, this is a deck. Why I keep using my deck, Denny? It's a south-facing, no-shade deck. Like, you don't want to sit out there at 2 o'clock on a hot
yeah.
day. It'll fry you. So if a deck is going to fail, it's going to be this one, and that's why. Again, we've outside of the millboard, it's the only composite decking that hasn't failed on that deck yet. Right now, on that particular deck, there's 4 different types of materials, and only one of them hasn't failed, and that's the millboard.
Millboard. I'm anxious to hear more about this porcelain, and I'm trying to think what kind of a subfloor, what kind of a structure could be used for that porcelain tile.
Yeah, the framing has to be 12 or 16 inches on center. It can't span at 2 feet. But then aluminum pans go in to on top of that, and then you're putting down glue and then putting the pieces of porcelain over the top of that. It seemed like a pretty straightforward install, but we'll know more as we test it. But Denny, don't you? Isn't your Four Season porch all porcelain tile?
Yeah, actually, it's a three season porch. It's unheated, and I thought, well, you know, we had Linda's put in those great windows. It used to be just, we've talked about this, a screened, you know, just screens. But we hired Linda's to put in all these double hung windows. Really look great, and I thought, doggone it, I want to instead of that floor, I'm going to try my hand at laying this porcelain tile, because porcelain tile supposedly can withstand, like you suggested, all sorts of temperature fluctuations in this part of the country. And I had to use like concrete backer board and all of that and 1,000 mm-hmm. screws, but it came out pretty good. And I don't find it slippery.
No. And the decking side. So most of us have probably been on some type of porcelain deck. So think of, a lot of patio areas at commercial buildings or hotels around the pool area.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of stone or porcelain that's used in those areas. And the reason why it's used in those areas is because it's long lasting and it's anti-slip. So it doesn't, and it's hard to break too. It's, you know, when you have a lot of people being hard on things, it seems that the stone and the porcelain are the materials that are chosen to withstand that. So most of us have probably seen it. We just didn't realize what we were walking on or what we were seeing. And I think you're over the next decade, I'd be a betting man. You're going to see more and more people using this for their outdoor living spaces.
Yeah. And that whole new roofing idea were talking about in the earlier part of the show, that intrigues me as well. I'm looking at a text. For the texter said, there's a roofing question. I can't cure the source or find the source. What's the best product to kill mold or algae on my roof? Those are those black streaks, right?
Yeah, there's been entire companies made for soft washing a roof. I can tell you this. Just had this conversation with my roofing department on Wednesday. And we tested a dozen chemicals that were designed for soft washing a roof, spraying a roof. In fact, I got a couple of our employees' roofs that we've been testing stuff with that all have hail damage. Now we're going to double it up and knowing that even if we wreck this roof with some kind of chemical, it's going to get replaced in the next month anyway. So we're going to go out and have some fun with some sprays and chemicals to see what we can do to get rid of algae. But so far, Denny, a 50-50 bleach to water ratio seems to be the best bet. Make sure you're washing down all your plants. But bleach seems to be the best one for cleaning off the black streaks and algae on a roof. When you do get it clean, installing a zinc strip at the peak of the roof is the best way to keep it clean. Chances are, if you have mold and algae on your roof, you're going to spray it, and within the next year, maybe two, it's going to be back. So it's just something to keep in mind. That's why it's really, really important when choosing a shingle. You know, GAF has granules designed to stop mold and mildew from growing on that shingle for 25 years. And once it starts to grow, it really does cut down on the life of a roof. I went on a couple this week that have moss growing on the roof. So where there's like an inch thick of moss, and underneath that, those shingles are shot. Huh. So it really can take away from your roof, not only aesthetically, but we get calls all the time out to people's houses, like, yeah, I lost all the granules on my roof. Like, no, all the granules are there. It's just a black mildew that's growing on top of the shingle. It needs to be cleaned. And the best way to do that is a bleach and water with a Hudson sprayer. Spray it on, let it sit, spray it off. Make sure you're dousing all of the plants down below. And I'm not going to say you won't kill anything, because I've killed a couple things at my house with my bleach and water mix. But I have some weeds here, Denny. We've used every chemical known to man at some of these weeds coming up in my rock garden. And it seems like nothing works outside of a weed whacker, and then they just come back. But we've gone all the natural routes, all the vinegar routes, all of the heaviest duty Roundup results, and this stuff is it's a hardy blade grass that you know, if it could get my plants to do what these weeds do, I'd be a gardener of the year.
Yeah, I know. I've been there, too. I tell you what, I know we have to break, but a listener wants to know, does Lindus install, after the roof is clean, the zinc strip?
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that. And hang on, Andy. We've got the remainder of the show to help our listeners out. We can do that either by phone or by text. You have any kind of a home improvement question, and we'll pick up on more here via the text line at 651-461-9226. This is News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Okay, we're back. And this final moments of our home improvement show, presented every week by Lindus Construction. Andy Lindus helping you out today as usual. Andy, it's still July, July 12, as a matter of fact. I always like to ask you what kind of deals can be had at Lindus.
Labor on leaf guard gutters, GAF Class 4 roofing, and Infinity Windows by Marvin. So some pretty good offers we have going on right now. And, you know, it's I'm telling you, Denny, our schedules are booking up. But when it comes to decking, siding, windows, doors, if you're in the market for one of those products and you want to get it done by the fall, I would start getting estimates now.
And another question we get from time to time, not often, but people do ask, because, you know, budget is important. Does Lindus do financing?
Of course. Yeah, we work with a couple of different banks, and we're getting more and more questions about financing. We have some pretty favorable interest rates and some longer terms, too, that are available. And what's nice is we've noticed the banks starting to loosen up the credit a little bit. We're getting more approvals, and we're seeing some of the costs of the interest refinancing come down as well. So I think compared to where we were last year, the financing is a better option than where we were 12 months ago. And more clients are asking about it, and can be the difference of being able to get, you know, two, three doors replaced or two, three windows replaced, or all of the windows in your house replaced with the proper payment plan.
Yeah, but good stuff, yeah, installed too.
Not too shabby.
Excellent. Yeah, if you want to get in touch, by the way, I always like to give you that easy number, 8449-LINDUS. You can call them this coming week, 8449-LINDUS. Not a question, but a comment from a listener that came in a bit ago about our insurance discussion. Texter, he or she says, 6 years ago, when we moved into our twin home, our homeowner's insurance was $600. Just received information that our premium is now $1,700. That a pretty common thought you hear from people.
Yeah, and I've seen them go from $4,000 to $8,000. $1,700 a year for a twin home doesn't sound bad. You might want to look at a lot of we're seeing too. The deductibles on the twin homes are crazy big. So if you don't want to get some crazy assessment, talk to the who's ever on the board for the housing association and see about, you can get a separate policy that pays the deductible. So if your deductible is $4,000 or $5,000, it's not that much more money to add on. And maybe that's what happened. That your homeowner's insurance is one thing, and you're paying another policy to pay for the deductible should you have hail damage. Some housing associations are making people do that. So everyone, no one can say, I can't afford to put a roof on when they need to. So if you're going to be replacing all of the roofs in an association, they're all getting covered, and contractors don't have to worry about chasing down people for, you know.
Okay, that makes sense.
Their portion of the deductible.
Shingle question from a listener. It says this, GAF Timberline HDX shingle installed October of 2020. Are they classified as Class 4 shingles?
No. Nope. Nope. The Class 4 shingles for GAF are the Ultra HDZ, and that only became a Class 4 this past spring. The Armor Shield is also a Class 4, and the Grand Sequoia Impact Resistant shingle is a Class 4. Those are the three Class 4 shingles available at GAF. They're not widely available, depending on the supplier that you're going to, but you should be able to find most of them. The Glenwood shingle that they used to make is available, but only if you're a Linus Construction customer. It's because I have some pallets of it sitting at my office. Now, we only have, like, I think two roofs left that we can do. That's the amount of quantities that we have. So when they're gone, and then I'll be sitting on, I have enough quantities where one or two roofs I can repair if a tree falls on them for the rest of my customers. Wow. So we bought the last 2,000 squares in the country. I always hold out hope that they're going to make it again, but I doubt that will ever happen. I know, having said that, the Grand Sequoia shingle and the Armor Shield shingle, we've inspected lots of those roofs after the last hailstorms. No damage on them either, and they are great-looking shingles. Nothing quite beats the Glenwood, though. I was on, like I said, yesterday I was on another one, and it's just so different. It's so gorgeous on how that roof is compared to the rest of them. That aesthetically was as nice a shingle as there's ever been made in the world.
Absolutely. Looking at a text, let's see. Well, we've got a few minutes to go on the show, Andy. It says, Andy, I bought a home with multiple coats of paint on the deck. Uh-oh. Hardly any space left between the boards for even water to slip through. Question, could I run a circular saw between the boards to widen the space and repaint? First of all, well, do you recommend that, and do you recommend painting?
Sounds like I'd maybe look at sanding and stripping the deck, and then going from there and then repainting it. Anytime I get this question every so often about running a circular saw on the deck in order to widen the gap so water to get through. It's never been a good idea. To make that cut look good is going to be almost impossible. You're going to scratch something, or you're going to go too far into the joists and weaken it. I would rather start sanding and getting a high-quality stripper that's going to remove the paint, and you get down to the bare wood, and then you can make a decision on what you want to stain your deck with from there. But painting a deck, the reason why there's that many coats is because it probably didn't last, and it probably wasn't done right to begin with. I have seen some epoxy coatings put on decks that look, or polyurea coatings put on decks that look pretty good, but I haven't had any customers, just from going to people's houses, I've seen people try it, and it looks good. I just don't know how long it lasts or how it actually holds up.
Yeah, I don't know either as far as exterior with that material. That's a good question. I know we just got a couple of minutes to go on the show, Andy. I'm looking at a text, and the texter is talking about some company that sprays a sealant on your roof. They don't have the name of it, but it's some kind of an extra sealant to cover the cracks and leaks. Have you ever heard of such a thing? As a gimmick?
Yes, I have. If I didn't think it was a gimmick, I'd be offering it. So a lot of it is soybean oil, and it's supposed to restore the roof. In fact, the active ingredient in almost all of it is some type of soybean oil. And I know companies that have made their own. There's companies that I can get that stuff, and we can try it on your roof. But it's a made up. It's not made up. I mean, there's some. Does it make the shingle maybe a little bit more pliable? Can it help in the cleaning process? But making the shingle last longer, and then one thing that you have to know, you go to somebody like any of the major manufacturers, they have a 50-year warranty on your roof. A lot of times when you add those chemicals to the roof, it voids the warranty. So you just got to be careful about that. And about the changes, the molecular makeup of the shingle into a class 4. I just haven't believed any of the testing I've seen. And then when I try to use the chemicals myself and test a roof, nothing has come back like, yep, this is something we need to start using and showing our customers. We're testing that stuff all the time. I'm hopeful. It'd be really nice. Like, yeah, you can make a chemical that you spray on a roof that's going to make it last longer and make it and make it have impact resistance. I'm all in. I'd be all in on something
magic.
Like that. But,
well, Andy, we're going to leave that magic to another show next time. We are plumb out of time. But thanks. Have a great week. You and all the crews at Linda's Construction, be safe. And we should get rid of this smoke by early Monday morning. That should help. Andy, let's do this again next Saturday. What do you say?
Sounds great, Danny. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy Lindis. Yeah, get in touch with Andy if you have in the Lindis Construction this coming week. Easiest number to remember, 844-9-LINDIS. Need new roof, new windows, new siding? They've got the best. 844-9-LINDIS. Well, enjoy the day. We'll get up to about 80 degrees today. Denny Long, thanking you for your company. We'll see you back here. Thank you, Ryan. Next Saturday.